Exodus chapter 20, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11, and that is what I'll be reading now. Let's give our attention to God's Word. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would make us willing hearers. We pray, O God, that you would speak to us this morning, and that you would feed us, that you would nourish us, you would strengthen us where we are weak, you would convict us where we need to be convicted, you would soothe us where we hurt. Lord, your word is sufficient for all of these things, and that is why we open it now and want to hear from you. And so please, be here now. Speak to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is quite common when referring to the Ten Commandments to talk about the two tables of the law, or the two parts of the law. This idea of a distinction in the law finds its most substantial support from Jesus himself, who summarized the law in two parts. He said that the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And thus we have this distinction between laws that primarily pertain to our relationship with God, and we have laws that primarily pertain to our relationship with man, loving God and loving our neighbor. Well, this distinction and this break in the law and these two tables is made between commandments 1 through 4 and commandment 5 through 10. That is, the first four commandments are commandments that regulate our relationship with God. The latter six commandments are commandments that regulate our relationship with our fellow man. Now, an easy way, I think, to summarize the first four commandments is to think about them this way. Number one is the who we worship. Number two is the way we worship. Number three is the how we worship. And number four is the when we worship. In other words, the first commandment says that you shall have no other God as the object of your worship other than the triune God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as revealed in the Scriptures. That is nailed in the first commandment. The second commandment says that you may not worship God with the devices of your own hands or the devices of your own minds, but rather you must worship God according to how He has revealed Himself in Scripture and how He has commanded you to worship Him. The third commandment says that you must worship in a manner, in a way, how that you do it. You must worship in a manner that is worthy of this God. In other words, you don't take the name of the Lord in a vain way. You don't frivolously engage yourself in worship, but rather you are to worship with reverence and awe. And thus we learn that worship is to be a sober and a somber event. It is not a frivolous free-for-all. The fourth commandment then tells us when that time is that God has prescribed for us to gather with other believers and worship Him. And it is this commandment, that which concerns our time and God, which is before us this morning. About a year ago, I addressed this issue in a topical sermon entitled The Lord's Day. That sermon's available on our website, and if you want a copy, we can get it in tape or CD. And in that sermon, I addressed at length the fact that the Sabbath commandment is not provisional, but it is a creation ordinance. And I went over the biblical foundations for the Sabbath. If you have any questions concerning that, I would invite you to get that sermon, because I'm not going to be going over that particular ground this morning. This morning, I want to talk about three things. I want to look at what the Sabbath is. In other words, the nature of the Sabbath. Why Christians must observe it on Sunday, the Lord's Day, and not on Saturday, the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath, and how we are to keep it. Let's begin with what the Sabbath is. With even a cursory look at the text that is before us this morning, we can easily see that the commandment calls us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and to rest from our work on it. Look at verses 8 through the first part of 10 again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And therefore we can quickly conclude that remembering, hallowing, and resting from work are all related to each other, and they are all involved in the keeping of this commandment. And so let's look at each of these three things, and let's consider first what it means to remember. If we compare the account here in Exodus with the other account of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy, we get a hint at what we are supposed to understand this idea of remembering to be. In other words, we get a hint that it is more than merely don't forget that there's this thing called the Sabbath. Don't forget the Sabbath, that kind of an idea. In Deuteronomy, in that account there, in Deuteronomy 5, the word is not remember, it is observe the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath day. This is much more the idea of a formal ceremony, a formal service. It refers to a religious observance. In fact, when we consult the references of the Sabbath throughout the law, the Sabbath is spoken of throughout the first 5 books of the Bible, we see that the Sabbath is not merely a day to think about it, but rather it is explicitly a day on which there is to be holy convocation. Leviticus 23:3 is typical. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling. And therefore, to remember the Sabbath day meant to hold a service of memorial on the Sabbath. To observe it is to hold a memorial service on that day. That is to have a holy convocation. And with that idea, we can conclude at least 2 things. Number 1, the Sabbath day is a day for worship. It's not just a day to whatever you might think remembering is, to remember. It's a day for solemn rest, holy convocation, religious observance. That's what the command is calling for. And so we know that the day is a day for worship. And number 2, this Sabbath worship is to take place in assemblies. A holy convocation is a holy assembly. It's a time when people gathered together for a service. And so the Sabbath is a time when God calls His people to assemble in holy convocations and worship Him. And thus it's a time to observe, or it's a time to do those things that are appropriate to honoring and glorifying God. Now, noting what it means to remember the Sabbath day, we're really not too far away from understanding what it means to keep it holy then. In fact, if we are to religiously observe this day to the Lord, then it's clear that it must be kept holy. That just goes with the territory. To keep something holy is to set it apart, to mark it as different and special. And therefore, the Sabbath is to be considered special and different and somehow set for it from every other day of the week. But lest we think that making the Sabbath different means that we can do something that we think makes it different. In other words, on the Sabbath, I'll eat fish instead of red meat, or I'll wear green instead of white. It's not up to us to dictate how we're going to make it different. We need to remember whose day it is. This is the Lord's day. He claims ownership over the Sabbath. Throughout the law, we read that the Sabbath is the Lord's Sabbath. Exodus 31:13 is typical. Speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. And therefore, although the Sabbath was made for man, we know it was made for man. Jesus told us exactly that. In Mark chapter 2, verse 27, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Although it was made for man, its maker is its Lord. In fact, Jesus claimed that as well in Matthew 12:8. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And thus, if the day is the Lord's day, He owns it, then we are to keep it holy to Him. In fact, both accounts, the text before us in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, both tell us explicitly that it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It is His day. Well, how do we keep it holy to Him then? Because that's what it's calling for. Well, as we've already noted, we gather for worship with other believers in holy convocations on that day. That's what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath. It's very clear in the law that the Sabbath is a day of religious observance and holy convocation. And thus, we know that we should then fellowship with other believers on the Sabbath. That's part of it. You don't come and sit in a little booth with no one, not noting anybody around you. You come in a holy convocation. You come into the assembly. And so fellowship with other believers is part of observing and keeping it holy to the Lord. Psalm 92, which we just sang, is entitled A Song for the Sabbath. Well, if we have a song for the Sabbath, we should sing it on the Sabbath. And so praising God with songs is what we're to do on the Sabbath. That's a way that we keep it holy to the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23, we get an interesting insight into our activity on the Sabbath, which is confirmed by Jesus' own example. And that is that the Sabbath is a day to hear from the Lord by attending ourselves to the preaching of His Word. We're to come where the Word of God is read and preached to hear from the Lord, from His Word. The account in 2 Kings is about Elisha raising the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. When the woman desires to go to Elisha and consult him, her husband asks her why she was going on that particular day, since, quote, from her husband, it's not the new moon or the Sabbath. So why are you going to the prophet on this day? In other words, the implication there is that the Sabbath was the normal day that you go to hear from the prophets. You go to hear the Word of God on the Sabbath day. Well, throughout the Gospels, we read over and over again that Jesus went to the synagogue every Sabbath where the Word of God was read and preached. It was read and taught. He attended Himself there. In fact, He took the occasion many times to actually do the instructing Himself. He read, he instructed on the Sabbath day. What becomes even more important about this is all of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus happen on Sunday. And what is Jesus doing on those days? He's instructing his people. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus come to mind, where Jesus opens the scriptures to them and they say to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Guess what? That was on the Sabbath. That was on the Lord's day. And finally, then, how we keep it holy, somewhat summarily, you could kind of underscore everything we've been talking about here, is that we observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy by honoring the Lord's sanctuary. We come to His house. That's what we're supposed to do. In both Leviticus 19:30 and Leviticus 26:2, we read, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." And therefore, all the things that would go on in the sanctuary, praise and prayer and preaching and fellowship and celebration, all of those things are what are to go on the Sabbath day. They're to be part of keeping the Sabbath day holy to the Lord. Well, again, having considered what is involved in remembering the Sabbath day and keeping the day holy to the Lord, we recognize that it is a practical necessity then that we must rest from our labors, our normal work on that day. In other words, if we are to observe a time of worship and engage ourselves in reverencing the Lord's sanctuary with the assembly, that's going to take time. And therefore, we need some time to do that thing that we are called to do. And therefore, we're called to stop our normal work, stop our labor. We are called to rest from it so that we might engage ourselves in that holy activity that we have been called to do. In fact, this point is made quite clear in our text right after we are told, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The very next thing is a prohibition: you shall not do any work. The way that you're going to keep it holy is by not working. This rest that God calls us to do, calls us to engage in throughout the Bible, is supposed to be seen as a gift from God. Far too often we view the Sabbath as a ball and chain. We view it as a big bummer in our lives, wrecking what we want to do. But nowhere other than the perversion of the Pharisees do we see the Sabbath ever spoken of as a bummer. Jesus said, "It was made for you." Isaiah 58 says, "Call it a delight." The song of the Sabbath, Psalm 92, begins, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praise to Him." And thus we need to see that the Sabbath is to be celebrated. That's what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath, is celebrate. It's to be a joyful celebration, not a bummer to endure. In fact, the two accounts in Exodus and Deuteronomy, with the two different reasons that they give us for resting from our work, need to be noted here. The first reason why we are to be rested on the Sabbath day, and why this is something that we are supposed to enjoy, is because that rest is to be, first of all, a refreshment for us. God has given us a day of refreshment. He calls us to rest from our works so that we can be recharged and refreshed in our persons. Look at Exodus 23:12, or just listen as I read it. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Why is this such a big deal? Because it follows exactly the pattern of our Creator. Exodus chapter 31, verse 17 says, "God was refreshed in His rest after His work. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." And therefore, our rest is supposed to be for our refreshment. God has given it to us as a time for refreshment, and that is a good thing. God was refreshed after 6 days of work, and we are to rest in like manner and be refreshed. Look at our text again, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, the Deuteronomy account of this commandment gives us a different rationale for the exact same action that it's calling for. It tells us to do the same thing, but it tells us and gives us a different reason for doing it. We read there in Deuteronomy, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." Therefore, the rest from work, our resting from work, is to be associated with liberation. Liberation from slavery, liberation from a bond. And so we learn that on the Sabbath day, we are to celebrate our release. I mean, we have Independence Day in America. Why? We celebrate our independence. Well, the Sabbath is to be a day of independence as well, a celebration of independence from bondage. This part of the Sabbath being a release from bondage is probably made clearer, no more, it's probably no more clear. The point is made very clear. How about that? In Luke 13, where Jesus is rebuking the legalistic ruler of the synagogue, who is all in a tizzy and mad because Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath day. Listen to how Jesus answers him. Luke 13, 15 and 16. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So we see that the call to rest from our work is so that we can be refreshed by celebrating our release from captivity. For those of you who work, you can appreciate how wonderful a gift this is. For those of you who have known bondage, you can recognize what a gift this is, what a blessed thing it is to be called to celebrate our release from bondage. And so the Sabbath day is that day God has given to man to rest from work so that he can be refreshed and so that he can celebrate release from bondage by keeping the day holy to the Lord. Man is to observe this day. Man is to celebrate this day by way of assembling together with other believers who recognize they have been set free from a bondage as well, and they are to worship together, fellowshipping, singing praise, hearing from the Word. That is what the Sabbath day is. The next consideration then before us is to answer the question, why? Why do we observe this day, the Sabbath, on a Sunday now? Well, the first thing to note with answering the question why is that there is something provisional and there is something permanent about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a permanent command, although it can have provisional things attached to it. We've already seen that it can have different reasons annexed to it for what it calls for. We can say you need to rest on the Sabbath because that's the pattern that God used in creation. Or we can say you need to rest on the Sabbath because it celebrates your release from bondage. Well, the day issue is exactly the same thing. In other words, Sabbath and seventh are not the same thing. They are two different things. They're two different words. The Lord blessed the seventh day after creation because that was the day that He rested. The seventh day became temporarily the day to observe rest. It became temporarily the day of the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was not the seventh day. In fact, throughout the law, we see that there are many Sabbaths that are not associated with a seventh day, but they're still Sabbaths. There's Sabbaths all over the place in the law. One of the many that we can note, and one that's pertinent to this discussion of why Sunday, is the eighth day Sabbath. In other words, the Sunday Sabbath of the Feast of Booths that we find in Leviticus 23:29. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the Feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. There were Sabbaths that didn't correspond to the seventh day because Sabbath is something different. A day can be made to carry that day, but the Sabbath is a rest from God. And thus the particular day can be changed. The day is only provisional and temporary. The institution and the command is not. Well, the New Testament gives us abundant, and I underscore abundant, evidence that the Sabbath is now to be celebrated on Sunday. And in a second, we're going to run through most of this evidence, but it is worthwhile right at the beginning here to generally note that before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he and his followers religiously celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday. It is so clear from the New Testament account that Jesus and his followers religiously celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday. But from the resurrection on, there is not a single instance in the entire New Testament of Jesus associated with the Old Testament Sabbath. Not only is there not an instance of Jesus associated with the Old Testament Saturday Sabbath after his resurrection, we don't have one instance of the followers of Christ assembling together to worship on a Saturday at all. And furthermore, not only do we have not one instance of Jesus or his disciples associated with the Sabbath, we have positive evidence the other way that Jesus and the disciples actually did gather together, associate, and worship on Saturdays. Well, having noted that generally, let's look at it a little bit more specifically. Most significantly, in a discussion about what day is the Sabbath, Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. He rose from the dead on Sunday. And that is underscored throughout the New Testament. It was on Sunday that he rose. One example, Mark 16:9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week. Now, if Jesus rises from the dead, whatever day he rose from the dead becomes very important because so much is attached to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one example. Psalm 2, verse 7. Today I have begotten thee. Well, according to Acts 13:33, Paul says that was speaking of the resurrection. And therefore, the today of Christ's begotten is on Sunday. Furthermore, flowing right out of this, what day was Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power? Romans 1:3-4 tell us, his son was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, it's abundantly clear that Sunday is the Lord's day. Anything you want to talk about as being attached to the day of resurrection now becomes attached to that day, the first day of the week. The crowning jewel of Christ's work, the most critical aspect of Christian doctrine, is his resurrection from the dead. And that day, the today of the eternal covenant between the Father and the Son, was Sunday, the first day of the week. When Christ went into the grave, he took the Old Testament Sabbath with him, and he rose again, bringing a new day for a new creation. And that day is Sunday. Well, did the disciples understand this? I mean, did they figure this out? Was it clear to them? It's hard to read the New Testament evidence and data in any other way than to come to the conclusion, absolutely, they understood this. The day of Pentecost was on Sunday, that blessed day when the New Testament church officially began, the day when Christ poured out the Holy Spirit that had been promised all the way back in the Old Testament, had been talked about all through the ministry of Jesus. The thing that Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for, was poured out on Sunday. The day that the gospel of Jesus Christ was first preached by the church was on Sunday. The day the church first observed the sacraments was on Sunday. All of this happened on the first day of the week. Never did any of this happen on a Saturday. Furthermore, we never hear of the church assembling together to worship in any other day than the first day of the week, Sunday, Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them and he continued his speech until night. There is the Lord's Supper and preaching going on the first day of the week. We don't know of any other day ever that the church met like that. It was on this day. And thus the disciples understood that the day of their new birth, remember, according to 1 Peter 1:3, that we were born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that happened on a Sunday. The church recognized that the day of their new birth, the day that Jesus poured out His Spirit, the day that all the promises of the old covenant about the new covenant, the day that they were fulfilled, the day that they first preached the gospel, the day that they first baptized, the disciples clearly understood this is now the day of the Lord. Yet maybe even more clear than all of this are the very words and actions of Jesus as being definitive to the fact that the Sabbath is now on the Lord's day, the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, Sunday. When Jesus said to His disciples at the establishment of the new covenant meal, the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance, in observation. Do this in remembrance of Me. And when He went on to rise from the dead on the first day of the week, and then when He appeared to His disciples on that day, and He broke bread with them on that day and communed with them, He was making it abundantly clear, this is now the New Testament Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do this in remembrance of Me. And Jesus shows up and He meets with them and He does that with them on that day and that day only. All six of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to the church were only on Sunday. Significantly, He disappears all the days in between and shows up again on the next Sunday. On Sunday, He came to His disciples. He fellowshiped with them. He taught them. He broke bread with them. He poured out His Spirit upon them. He never met them, taught them, gave His Spirit, or communed with them on any other day, let alone on Saturday. It was always on Sunday. Israel was to remember the Sabbath as a celebration of release from bondage and a day of refreshment. And the church is to remember the Sabbath as well as a celebration from bondage, the bondage of sin and death. And it's a day of refreshment in Christ when we rest from our work and we take on His work. By faith, we rest in what He has done. We do this by observing the Word and the sacrament according to the very pattern of Jesus and the first disciples. They met together on Sundays. Every Sunday between the ascension, or the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus came to His church, broke bread with them, taught them from the Scriptures. In other words, they did church on Sunday. That's why we do church on Sunday. The new creation has a new Sabbath day. It's called the Lord's Day. On this day, we follow the example of Jesus. On this day, we follow the example of the New Testament and the first disciples. And we meet together, we break bread together, we fellowship, we sing praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I have a third point, and I have no time. The Sabbath is to be enjoyed. That's how we are to keep it. We're to enjoy it. But lest you think that enjoying something is easy, enjoying takes effort. Let me just quickly note these points without elaboration. To enjoy the Sabbath, we must be able to let our ordinary daily concerns go. This doesn't just involve your occupational labor. This involves your free time and your hobbies as well. The question before you is, what do you do with your freedom? How do you celebrate your freedom? Well, we're called to come, lay down our concerns, assemble with others who have been set free, and commune with Jesus and the saints. That's what we're called to do in celebration. And therefore, number two, to enjoy the Sabbath, we must be able to enjoy other people. It's a day of selflessness. We're supposed to get past our own selfishness, and we're supposed to commune with other saints, holy convocations. And so you have to be able to enjoy other people, to enjoy the Sabbath day. Why would we ever want to assemble together with people who do not care about our Lord, who do not know the release that we've been in? Why would you want to go and spend time with people who are celebrating the ball instead of people who are celebrating the Lord? And this is why the Sabbath is then a covenant sign. And so number three, to enjoy the Sabbath, we must devote the day to the Lord. When we are not busy with ourselves, we can be busy with God. When we have rested from our own work, we can let God work in us. And this requires us to devote the day to Him. The Sabbath becomes a line in the sand kind of an issue. It becomes that mark between the people of God and the people of the world. It becomes a mark between the faithful and the faithless, because every week our faith comes to visible expression as we keep the Sabbath and we do something different than the rest of the world. Those who have confidence in themselves, those who love themselves, those who want to be the masters of their own destiny, have a very hard time giving their time to the Lord. And therefore, fourthly, to enjoy the Sabbath, you must have faith. Observing the Sabbath requires faith. Faith to believe that giving our time to the Lord is the best use for it. Faith to stop working with our own hands and our own strength and let God meet our needs on that day. Faith to believe that coming here and doing this, attending ourselves to the means of grace, is really the best thing for us and the best use of our time. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to come in here. It takes faith to give an entire week, especially when you have a hectic week, when you have a large family, when you don't seem to ever have times for things for you. It takes a lot of faith to observe the Sabbath, to give this day wholly to the Lord. Where there is no faith, the Sabbath is destroyed. When the Sabbath is trampled underfoot, the covenant is broken. This is why over and over again God chastised His people on this issue. You have trampled the Sabbath. Because trampling the Sabbath became a crowning symptom that the people had lost their faith. What do you think trampling the Sabbath in America is saying to everybody? We have lost our faith. The church in America is no better off than Israel was then. We have trampled underfoot this gift God has given us. And in this perfect time to exercise and show our faith, because we believe that God has given us things that are good for us, if we were to keep it, we would be a testimony to the world that we truly are people of faith. But we trample this day underfoot and we show that we are a faithless church. The Sabbath is Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. It's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a day that God has given us to rest from our work so that we can be refreshed and so that we can celebrate release from the bondage of sin that was accomplished by Christ, and we do this by keeping the day holy to Him. We are to observe this day, and we are to celebrate it by resting from our work and assembling together with others that have been released from their bondage as well. We do this because this is what Jesus did. We do this because this is what the early disciples did. We gather, fellowshipping, breaking bread, singing, hearing the preaching of the word. And we must enjoy it by letting our concerns go. We must enjoy it by being with others. We must enjoy it by keeping it holy to the Lord. And we must enjoy it by faith and because of our faith. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to walk worthy of the calling that you have called us to. We pray that we would be a people who show forth your praises, a holy people called out and separate from all others. We thank you for the gifts and blessings that you have given us. Your commandment is exceedingly broad, but it is good. Teach us to love it and to run in its ways. Grant us faith to believe and faith to obey. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.